Tonight, I wanted us to look at the question, where is Jesus today? Where is Jesus today? And as we're looking at it, we need to understand that when God said life, existence, everything that it exists into motion, he has a plan. Everything is planned from generation to generation for ever millisecond and all. God has a plan for everything that is going on within our life. In John 16, verse 28, listen to what Jesus says. He says, I came from the Father and entered the world. Now I am leaving the world and going back to the Father. Jesus says, I came from my home in heaven and I came to the world. I'm going home and I'm going back to my Father. Jesus, God incarnate, comes to earth for us because he loves us. And he comes down from his home in heaven to live the human existence. You and I are born from below, and when we commit our heart to our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our address has changed from earth to heaven. Jesus was come from his home in heaven for us and went back home. You and I start here, but our home is waiting for us. Oh, if we could just grasp that and get that within our spiritual heart and to understand how much God really loves us. And all you got to do is look at the Easter story, to look at what Christ went through just for us. And for people to say, well, God doesn't love me because look what happened to my family. Why do we blame all the bad on God? And yet, so often, we won't thank God for just our life. Why do we not thank God for every pain that we have? Because we think God would think we're nuts if we start thanking him for that. You know, everything that goes on with me, I know now. I know that God knows what's going on in me, what's going on with me. So there has to be a purpose. So you and I, as earthly beings, need to look for that purpose in our pain, purpose in the brokenness. There is a purpose there. We just try to bypass it. You know why? We want to once again go around the hurt. You never conquer hurt. You never conquer the brokenness by attempting to go around it. We're going straight through it because Jesus is in front of us. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we know the Bible stories. We know about Goliath. We know about Jesus and, just with the little faith as a grain of mustard seed, you can set up that mountain to move. Meaning Jesus says, look at me on your journey. I'm the one that will take care of it for you. We have a hard time trusting. You notice that? You know why? We're used to giving our trust to another human being and watching what they do with it. And so we thank God his calling for us to trust in him is going to let us down. God's the only personality in your life that will not let you down. Everything that God does in your life is for the good. Here's how great it is. He even takes the bad of the world that Satan will conjure up, and he says he'll turn the bad into good. But we have to trust him on doing that. Jesus, number one, physically ascended into heaven. We're talking about where is Jesus today. If I can keep from preaching, we'll teach this. Acts 1, verses 6 through 11. So when the apostles were with Jesus, they kept asking him, Lord, has the time come for you to free Israel and restore our kingdom? You got to think about this. This is at the end of the 40 days after the resurrection. These disciples are still waiting for Jesus to be the human king. They still don't get it. I mean, they've been with the resurrected Jesus for all of this 40 days afterwards, and then they're asking him the same question that they asked him at the beginning of his ministry. They didn't understand kingdom power or the kingdom that Jesus is the God of. He replied, "The Father alone has the authority to set those dates and times." See, again, Jesus is telling them that he is the king. He's telling them, but his kingdom is not of earth. His kingdom is of heaven. The authority to set those dates and time, and they are not for you to know. So why do all of these people spend half their life? I got to figure this out. When the Lord said, "It's not for you to know." And if not for me to know, do you really think you're going to dig and study that hard and all of a sudden the Lord's going to reveal to you what he said? It's not for you to know? Okay. "But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses, telling people about me everywhere in Jerusalem, throughout Judea, in Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." After saying this, he was taken up into a cloud while they were watching, and they could no longer see him. As they strained to see him rising into heaven, I catch that. I would be doing that. I'd be doing it with my mouth open, I'm sure, looking up in unbelief. Two white-robed men suddenly stood among them. "Men of Galilee," they said, "why are you standing here staring into heaven?" Too often you'll find Christians looking up to heaven trying to get the Lord to come on back instead of doing what God told them to do. And if they would do what God told them to do, that would usher in the kingdom. Oh, well. "Jesus has been taken from you into heaven. But someday..." Listen to this. "And he will return from heaven in the same way you saw him go." Ah, all of the years you and I grew up, especially us that's a little older. Come on, the younger ones are, okay. Anyway, I thought, how in the world is everybody going to see him? Now we see everything going on all over the world at any time. So, where is Jesus? Number two, Jesus sits now at the right hand of God the Father. Psalm 110, verse 1, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit in the place of honor at my right hand until I humble your enemies, making them a footstool under your feet." Huh? God is the one that's going to bring humility to all of these who think they're so powerful. The danger of people getting to the point where they think they are so powerful they can't be stopped. Hitler, Stalin, many others through the life that we know. But think of this. What about the people that you know? When we talk about power, do you realize that parents have power and authority over children? And are not parents, because they do have, aren't they the ones that God looks to? If they are not bringing the child up in a proper manner on his word, God says he does. And your pastor has warned and warned and warned. Watch out what you do to a child. Okay, Matthew 26:64. Jesus replied, "You have said it. And in the Son of God? You have said it. And in the future, you will see the Son of Man seated in the place of power at God's right hand, and then coming on the clouds of heaven." All those who said that Jesus is not existing, will see him like the rest of us see him. You and I will have a smile on their face. Others, the scripture says, will cry, for the rocks and the mountains cover them. But they would not do it. Think about this. When people get to the point of life where they welcome death to the point of let the rocks crush me, let the mountains overshadow me. Folks, hell is not made up of dead people. When God created the human race, every human being was created to live forever. Nature cannot change God's intent. That's why God warned him. You know, if I thought you just live for 100 years and you die and there's nothing, why would I preach? Why would any of it? We would be doing anything that our mind tells us to do, and many are. Because they don't see a payday someday. But it is there. But the payday for you and me was taken care of over 2,000 years ago, folks. So Jesus already paid for us. We belong to him. I don't worry about that part of it. But I do hurt for people who don't believe it. Really sad. Many people who are members of churches do not believe that. They think about everything as figuratively speaking. Well, I hope it's not a figurative statement that Jesus is Lord and I belong to the Lord. Anyway, where is Jesus today? Because of where he is. Remember, he's at the right hand of God the Father. He rules and reigns as sovereign King and Lord. Folks, he's not waiting to rule and reign. Only thing we're waiting for, he said, I'm going to go and prepare the place for you. When I do, I'm coming back to get you. Doesn't mean that people said, yeah, I'm waiting for the rapture. No. When you leave this body, you raptured out of there, folks. Your rapture's here. And you will be shouting just as loud with that rapture as you will with the end time rapture. Which you will be at anyway. Again, you will see the ultimate rapture. You're either coming or you're going. But you'll be in that rapture. Matthew 11:27, first part of it. All things have been committed to me by my Father. Now, I've told you all before, you need to pay attention. When Jesus is doing all the miracles, and he said, I've never done anything. My Father, I never even said a word. My Father didn't give me the say. But at all times from the human condition, he was given power and authority over the evil and Satan and all of this, everything taking place on earth. After the resurrection, Jesus had been given, as he said, authority both on earth and in heaven. See, he completed what God's plan had said he would complete. And in doing so, all authority is given to Christ. So you and I know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. But that's not, Satan knows him too. He knows us and calls us his children. We're family. If I had to explain that, everybody's in a mess. Colossians 1:15. Christ is the visible image of the invisible God. You know, I have found that has been a topic of debate for so long with people who say, wonder what God looks like. And that's, again, where you just want to slap them a little bit to wake them up and said, Jesus said that looking at him is all of God you're going to see because he is God incarnate. The battle's going on with that. Maybe that's why John the Beloved says, try the spirits to make certain they are of God. Here's the trial for the one who professes to be a Christian. John says, if they say Christ came, and most of your translations say Christ King, but in some of them, Christ came in the flesh. If they say, yes, he came in the flesh, they are of God. And then we've been through the stories before of people that I've told you all can't say it, won't say it. If they don't believe in Jesus, they sure won't say it came, that he's God incarnate. And that's what that is. See, Jesus says they had to recognize me as God, because seeing Jesus was the only sight picture of God that we have, because God must be worshipped in spirit and in truth. Remember Einstein. You'll remember Einstein. You'll remember the studies of Einstein. Excuse me, honey. You won't remember. Rest of us remember. But Einstein, and that statement that just baffled me for a person like him to say. And he said that he truly believed, because we only use 1/10 of our brain, he truly believed that if man could use the 100% of his brain, he wouldn't need the body. If we could use 100% of our brain, we wouldn't need the body. He's saying there's something spiritual in there. Wonder when, at what point God decided to withhold the other 9/10. Also, I met a few people, I think that they may have a little extra than the 1/10. And people like me are just a few clicks shy of having the 1/10. But God loves us anyway. Isn't that a blessing? Okay. Yeah, you know what? That'd be exciting. We'll be smart in heaven. But everybody else is going to be smarter. Yeah. Because we'll be in heaven, the humility will not say, I'm smart. You know, that is another question. And according to Scripture, there's different works that we will work in heaven. There's, you know, it's not the end, it's the beginning of our eternal reign with Christ. Obviously, there was a difference in people in heaven. If you think about it, God is the ultimate perfect judge, right? He's the only one who can judge. So in perfectly judging, would it not be different if a person accepted Christ, had been a murderer and rapist and all this other stuff all their life, and 2 seconds before they die, they accept Christ? Do I believe they are in heaven if they truly said yes to Jesus Christ? Yes, I do. Would they not be different than a man like Billy Graham, who's led so many to Christ? Those are questions and answers we'll get when we get there. Because, see, we can only deal with it in our human mind right now. And I can't get over the part of why God loves me to begin with. You know, you look at your life, you look at yourself, you look at, any of you ever lose your temper? Any of you say something you wished you hadn't and get into all of that kind of stuff? And then one day they said, every idle word you will answer to. Well, I don't have to, because Jesus went to the cross, and boy, am I happy. I've said some words that were really idle. Haven't you? Any of you all here? No. Estelle hadn't, I know, but I do know. Because of where Jesus is, he is the spiritual head. He's the animation of his physical church. Okay. The church is not animated. The church doesn't derive its power from the members. The church derives its power from the Holy Spirit. Okay, the animation of the church is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is of one mind in Christ. Therefore, when you have to deal with people within the church that decide to change that, especially pastors, they shut it down quickly, or should. But he is the spiritual head, meaning the power comes through Christ. And if a preacher says, you listen to me, I know what you all would say anyway, but no. How about listening to the Lord? When I read a verse, God will speak to you with that verse. And you may hear me preaching from that verse something that you didn't get from it. And if all of us started preaching around the table, I guarantee you it'd be different. Every one of us would receive something else. So if we do that, each one of us receives something different from that one verse, and we're united together, doesn't that make us stronger when all of us have a say about what's wrong in all of this? See, there's where the truth lies. The truth lies not in a group of people, but in the Holy Spirit who indwells those individuals, or not. Every one of us understand this. You can tell when something, as a Christian, when something is being said and it is not of God. You can tell that. You just know it. And when it does, it breaks your heart a lot of times. And we're supposed to walk away from it. Sometimes we can't walk away without commenting on it. Ephesians 1, 22, 23. God has put all things under the authority of Christ. All things mean all things, folks. And has made him head over all things for the benefit of the church. He is head of the church. And I'm sorry for folk who get upset with me. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, not a preacher, not a priest, not anyone else. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. And the church is many parts. And each one of us, called by God for a special talent or whatever we may have within that church, but we're all called by God through Jesus Christ to serve him. The power and authority is in who Christ is. Okay. And the church is his body. I just said that, didn't I? I knew I read it somewhere. And the church is his body. It is made full and complete by Christ, who fills all things everywhere with himself. You know, every time I see fills all things with himself, I always have to laugh about the hornets and Joshua cleaning that whole Jericho out. And here all those years I was reading about how great Joshua was, and then I read the part where God sent the hornet. Yeah, gosh. You know, so God's in control of the hornets. I guess that's why. Did you ever have your wife get madder than a hornet at you? That's a gift from God, I'm sure. Because of where Jesus is, he is the God-man mediator for us. Now, let me apologize to our listeners and to every one of you all sitting here. It has really aggravated me over the years to hear somebody say, "No, I serve the man upstairs." It just gets me. But listen to 1 Timothy. Listen to 1 Timothy 2:5. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ Jesus. So, when I look at that, man, Christ Jesus, it is now understanding that the man upstairs that we're talking about, if they read this verse, anyway, the man upstairs is Christ Jesus, or the Messiah, the Christ. He is a man upstairs because he, as a man, conquered everything for humanity. And he is the man, Christ Jesus. You see, God gave him everything, placed in his hands to control, because he conquered everything for us. Oh, we serve an awesome God. Woo. Because of where Jesus is, he commissioned us to hurl his reign, or preach, or teach, or talk, if you don't like hurled. But in our day, words changed, I guess. Where he is over that ship, just a hurling up a storm on it. Okay, the hurl is to proclaim his reign. Matthew 28, 18 through 20. Jesus came and told his disciples, "I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commands I have given you. And be sure of this. Be sure of this. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Now, when people talk about the end of the world, you and I as Christians, we talk about the end of the age. The ages that God has set within his mind and the times and all. The end of the age. Do you remember something? The end of the age. Does not the scripture tell us that after all the end of the age of the church age is over, that this earth will be destroyed, but a new heaven and a new earth will come down? Well, who's inhabiting it? Well, I know several denominations that let us know real quick. They're the only 144,000, and they got that locked. Well, from the teachings of Scripture, I never see an end to the number of people that God loves. Remember, Jesus died on the cross while we were still sinners, dying in our sin. The Scripture says he died for the lost, for the sinner. So therefore, you know, I can wave my hands and say, yep, he died for me, because I know about sin. Now, we asked the question, well, you know, was this good or was that bad? And you get into that, but I guarantee you, you and I know sin when we see it, because we've had more introductions to it than we have anything else within our life, right? Right? Yeah, you're right. Oh, I'm getting worried. Okay, because of where Jesus is, he can make this irrevocable promise. Irrevocable still means it can't be revoked, right? Anybody changed that yet? All right. You know, I get worried about when I said, you know, on Thursday, I want you all to come. I want you to do something. And then I always ask, we still have Thursdays, don't we? Has anybody decided that we don't need Thursday? And it's going to hurt somebody's feelings if we say Thursday. Gosh. You know, my ancestry, as mom would tell me, you know, go straight back I think it was a Cherokee Indian. Cherokee Indian right here in Kentucky. I know where I was. And she said that was interracial marrying in her grandparents' days. And that's when they said, well, he got himself a squaw woman, you know, derogatory type of statements and all that were made. An irrevocable promise. Only God can make an irrevocable promise. Got it? Because God is in charge of what we call time, which he doesn't pay any attention to. So only God, the Creator, can make such an irrevocable promise. To whom? All Christians. All Christians. Good, bad, and the ugly. All of us. When we've said yes to Jesus Christ, born again, born from above, born anew, we are heaven bound. Nothing or nobody can stop it. Got excited, didn't I? I get excited. Okay. John 14, verses 1 through 4. Don't let your hearts be troubled. Hey, Christian, this is Jesus talking to us. Trust in God and trust also in me. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. I did this from the New Living Translation. There is more than enough room in my Father's home. In my home, there are many mansions. Isn't that the way the old English is? Okay. If this were not so, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? You know, have I ever lied to you? Got it? When everything is ready, I will come and get you. So that you will always be with me where I am. And you know the way to where I am going. Don't you remember which one of the disciples said, Lord, we don't know which way. What's the way? You know, and there again, you got to I can picture Jesus saying, get over here, boy. Let me start. I've told you this for 3 years, and you still don't get it. I didn't read that anywhere. I can just picture. You know, after you've had to mess with 12 ornery disciples who deal with worldly thoughts, even when they're watching the dead rise, the lame walk, the blind to see, and even the blind that didn't have any eyeballs, Jesus made eyeballs with the mud ball, stuck it in there, and it's looking. Somewhere along the line, they should have caught on, right? Well, you know, that's exactly what the folk that are coming after us will say. Why didn't that generation catch on? I can see it. Well, okay. John 14, a second part of verse 6, in case those who are listening or here didn't know the way. Jesus says, I am the way and the truth and the life. You see, I want the way, I want the truth, and I want the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. Now, why would I attempt to change a statement from Jesus to make somebody or a group of people feel good about not knowing the truth? We Christians have an obligation. We don't have an obligation to beat people down. We have an obligation to share the love of Christ so they will know the way, the truth, and the life. But we have no right to ever make a statement, especially men in the pulpit, ever make the statement and say there might be another way. And folks, when we have Baptist preachers making that statement now, it tears me all to pieces. And that should raise a lot of levels of concern within our country. Because if the parents don't tell the children the truth, the children then will be focusing on a lie, right? Irrevocable. Once it's gone, yes. The lie also, you got to remember, thank you, Gene, when God says a promise is irrevocable, it's saying there's no other way. This is it.